It was in the middle of my freshman year of college. It was a regular day, and that particular day I had taken a power nap. And back then it was you'd go and sleep for like a couple hours at nighttime, and then during the day you would take a quick power nap. When I was younger, I could do that. Now I absolutely cannot. But on this particular day, I had come back to my dorm room after class, and I laid down for a quick power nap, and I don't know how long I was asleep this day, but I was awoke by my dorm phone. Not like a text message or my cell phone, but like it was my room phone. We had a landline telephone, and it rang, and it woke me up, and I answered with this groggy, like, hello, like not knowing what time of day it was or where I was, and it was my academic advisor, and she was like, is this Sean? I'm like, yeah, it is. And she goes, I need you to come to my office right away. And I was like, right now? And she goes, yes, right now. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. And kind of got up and I was ready to go. And in that moment, I experienced something that everybody listening to me right now has probably experienced at some point. And that was, I experienced uncertainty. Why was I called to my academic advisor's office? My mind goes, like always in these types of situations, my mind goes to worst case scenario. And so am I getting kicked out of college? I am failing a class. I got a bad grade on something. There's something that I shouldn't have said. There was something I should have said that I didn't say. Was it something I shouldn't have done? Has my past caught up with me? I don't know. But I just had this overwhelming sense of uncertainty. Now that feeling, that's something you've experienced too. Everyone listening to the sound of my voice has experienced at some point in your life a sense of uncertainty. And we're dealing with uncertainty right now in our nation. We're dealing with uncertainty right now in the world. And I'll just be honest, I've never seen anything like this, okay? This coronavirus pandemic, the scare, so many reactions, so many responses to it. And so I just want to speak to that a little bit, that not only are we seeing or experiencing like national and global uncertainty, but we have people who are tuning into this message right now who are also at the same time maybe experiencing some sort of personal uncertainty. Here in Watford, there are a number of things that people are worried about. Maybe it's, is God going to work in this situation? Is God going to pull me through this anxiety that I'm experiencing? If the price of oil doesn't go up soon, like what's going to happen with my job and my family and my employees and my coworkers? Is this it? In whatever it is that we're experiencing, am I always going to feel this way? Am I always going to be depressed? Am I always going to be financially strapped? There's so much uncertainty, and uncertainty is what brings about a lot of the stresses in our lives and a lot of the worries, and a lot of the anxieties that we go through. I mean, think about it. If we didn't have uncertainty, we wouldn't have anxiety because we would know what the future holds, right? But I wrote this down a few days ago as I was working through some thoughts. I wrote this for me, but as I wrote this down, I thought, this is something that I should share. And this is something that, this is the big idea that I thought would drive the message for today, and that's this. Even in times of uncertainty, I can know that God is with me. Even in times of uncertainty, I can know that God is with me. It's even in these moments, it's we can have these thoughts of comfort that God is with me. We can approach it in such a way that it's almost like we're convinced. Sometimes we get convinced that we've been abandoned. We get convinced that we've been forgotten about. And oftentimes we'll feel very alone. But it's in these times of sometimes even extreme uncertainty, we can be absolutely certain that our God is with us, that he's for us, and he will bring us through the situation. Now, where I want to go today and build this message around is an event from the Old Testament. And this is about a king named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, he was a good king. He was over the southern part of the kingdom known as Judah. And he came into power and he put some things into place the chapter before the one we're looking at today, and he was kind of, he's getting the country, getting his people back to where they needed to be. He was getting things put into order, and all of a sudden, in 2 Chronicles 20, we see something that happens with Jehoshaphat that creates this pretty big mountain of uncertainty. Check this out, what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. Okay, so that may not make much sense right now, but what's going on is this is a serious situation. So Jehoshaphat is in Jerusalem. Everything is going normal. Everything is going great. And all of a sudden, messengers come to him and they say, you know what? We're getting attacked. From out of nowhere, we're getting attacked by an army. And it wasn't just an army. It was like a combined army of three different armed forces. And not only that, but these armies are now closing in on Jerusalem. And by the time Jehoshaphat finds out, it was almost like it was too late to assemble and do anything. Point being, he was attacked and he didn't see it coming. Now, everybody knows what that's like, right? For something to happen in your life, something that's tragic and you didn't see it coming. Something that was a difficult situation and you didn't see it coming. It was the phone call, the email, or the knock on the door. It could be something like you're driving down the road and even like your check engine light comes on and you didn't see it coming. And I've got to be honest with you, when it comes to the things that are going on in our world, in our community right now, I didn't see this coming. When I started hearing about it more and more, it just got to be like, I don't really care about what's going on, and I started hearing it more and more, and then it was a few times a week, and then it was like you all you can find, right? You turn on the weather channel. It's like, I just want to check the weather, and that's all they're talking about is the coronavirus. But at the end of the day, whether you think it's valid or not, nobody saw this coming. I mean, people are trying to blame government leaders, and not just in America, but all over the world. But at the end of the day, I don't really think politicians really have control over it. And some of you might push back with conspiracy theories. They're like, oh no, they saw it coming, right? At the end of the day, it's a virus and none of us saw it coming. Just like many of us are dealing with personal situations right now. Situations that took us by surprise and we didn't see them coming. The question becomes, what do you do when life just seems to fall apart? Well, Jehoshaphat, he did something that was so counterintuitive. Now, I would like to think that I would handle a similar situation the same way that he did, but I know me, and I don't know about you, but I have the tendency, almost like the spiritual gift of freaking out sometimes. It's not really a spiritual gift, but here we go. Watch this. Okay, verses 3-9. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news. Now pause right there. In our country, are people terrified by the news, yes or no? Yes, right? I mean, seriously, like the toilet paper thing, I still don't understand it. It's like the world is falling apart. I will have my toilet paper, right? I've never thought I would see the day where stores have to keep toilet paper behind the counter to keep tabs on all of it, but nonetheless, I digress a little bit right now. Jehoshaphat was terrified, okay? And I know lots of people are terrified by the news, all sorts of things that we're hearing right now. And again, not just this news. We may be terrified by what you're personally going through. Whatever it is, it's very normal to find something out and to be terrified. Now, Jehoshaphat here, he's terrified by this news, and it says he begged the Lord for guidance, which this is really a good idea, right? Our president called last Sunday a national day of prayer, which, I mean, I think this is a great idea. Sometimes it's sad that it takes a crisis to get us there, right? But at the end of the day, that was where we landed, right? So Jehoshaphat, he begs the Lord for guidance, and watch this. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Now pause again here, because here's where it begins to go into a direction that I wouldn't necessarily expect it to go. Because I don't know about you, but when bad things happen to me, I have a tendency to do one of two things. Number one, freak out and like maybe start crying. Or two, I have a tendency to just ask God why. God, why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? Why me? Why couldn't you have just let this happen to somebody else? I know some people in my life that are worse than me. In fact, I could give you a couple names, God, right? Some people, you could let this happen to them. But why does this have to happen in my life? But Jehoshaphat, what we notice very quickly, he doesn't do that. Watch this, verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah in Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with a calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. So Jehoshaphat starts out by saying, God, I just want to start by saying you are good. Now, I'll be honest. That's not always my first reaction when something bad happens. Oftentimes my reaction is, God, where are you? But here it's, you are good. Now, I've had somebody in recent days say, tell me one good thing that's happening right now. Tell me one good thing that's happening right now. And so I was like, okay, one good thing? Well, they're canceling sporting events now, right? Imagine this happened in the fall and they had to cancel football. Like, people would be rioting in the streets, right? I'm talking like martial law. It would be completely insane. And so, yeah, I'm bummed that I don't get to watch my motocross and hockey right now for the time being, but I digress. Like, this blows my mind. Instead of standing in front of God, crying or yelling at God or blaming God, Jehoshaphat does something different. Now, I don't know about you in the situation we've got going on, the situation you've got going on, but I'm not blaming anybody. These are questions I've asked God. God, how could you let what's happening to me happen to me at times in my life where I've experienced uncertainty? I mean, God, I thought that I was doing good. I thought that I was doing right. I thought that I was being a good person, and yet you let this happen, right? Jehoshaphat, in his case, it would be, you let an army come and invade us. Like, they're going to kill us. They're going to take us as prisoners. God, how could you let this happen to me? But that wasn't his approach, was it? He's like, God, before we ask you anything, before we get to any of that, Lord, I just want to talk about, God, I just want to talk about how much you blessed us. I just want to talk about the ways that you always take care of. God, I want to talk about how good you are. And so for me, in times of uncertainty, I've had to write this down. In times of uncertainty, what I need to remind myself is, in times of uncertainty, I need to look back on all the times God was there for me. Because when we get caught up in the moment, we can tend to forget all that God has done for us. And when we forget all that God has done for us, We'll forget that God's been good to us because we're caught in the moment. But as we look back on what he's done for us and all the ways that he's been faithful, that gives us cause to say, God, regardless of what's going on in my life right now, I know and I trust that you are good. You know why? Because some of us who are watching this right now, we could be sick, but we're not sick. We could be lost somewhere, but we're not lost somewhere. We could be in a hospital, but we're not in a hospital. We could be going crazy, but we're not going crazy. We could be dead, but we're not dead. The reason we're not any of these things is because God was good to us then. And if God was good to us then, why in the world would we think that he's not going to be good to us now and in the future? God is good. Even in a season of uncertainty, we can rest assured that God's going to be good. He's going to be good to you. He's going to be good to us. And Jehoshaphat starts praising God, and it gets crazy. Watch this. Verse 10. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. So now, after he's gotten done praising God, he just informs God of the problem at hand. Okay? God knows, but sometimes when we pour out our hearts to God, when we tell him what's going on, it's not for God to know. He already knows. It's for us. This is a reminder that we can pour out our hearts to God. We can tell God anything. We say this all the time here at Crosspoint. God is not bothered by your honest prayers. In fact, I think God is more bothered when our prayers are not honest. I want to float that one out there. Let that one sit there for a minute. Passage continues. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Now, this is my part right here. Verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. He's saying, we can't stop them, God, but we know that you can. Did you know that sometimes God will allow us to be in the middle of a situation that reminds us of how out of control we are, but how in control he is? And I don't know about you, but I need a reminder from time to time. Because otherwise I begin to think that I control everything. And then the bottom falls out. And I realize that I didn't control anything. And so he's coming here and he's like, this is your problem, God. And then he says, I love this. This is the king. This is the leader of the nation. And he says, we do not know what to do. We do not know what to do. Ever been there? I have no idea what to do. I've been in so many situations in my own life personally where I did not know what to do. And I know you've been in situations. Some of us are in situations right now where we literally do not know what to do. But here's the thing that encouraged me so much. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. That right there, I think, is where we are as a nation. I mean, circle back. When was the last time a leader called a national day of prayer other than our regular annual one? I mean, when the price of oil was up and the stock market was up and to the right, was anybody asking for a national day of prayer then? No. Life was good, right? We weren't asking for help when we were healthy. We weren't asking for help when things were going good. And I'm not ragging on anybody. I'm saying I have this tendency as well. But sometimes things will happen to remind us that we really do need his help. Now, let me pause here quick and say this. If I'm wrong, you can judge me, and I just don't think I'm wrong, okay? I believe that we've been living in the end times since the days of the early church, the days that the New Testament was written. hello. But I knew that in the present situation that our country and our world is facing, it wouldn't be long before people started looking at what's currently happening and saying, it's here! The end of times is here! This is the black horse in Revelation! This is the judgment of God, right? Okay, let me promise you something. When the judgment of God falls on us, we will not be able to report on it, okay? It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen swiftly. There will be no plan in place to deal with the judgment of God like we met with Congress and there's a bill that we've put in place. It's not going to happen, okay? Now, is God allowing this? Obviously, absolutely he is. But at the end of the day, I think one of the reasons he's allowing this is so that we can see, again, not just how out of control we are, but how in control he is. Watch this. This whole Jehoshaphat thing, it gets even crazier. Verse 13, it says, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of that guy, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. They're saying, we know who this guy is. We know his grandpa. We know his great-grandpa. He's credible. He's legit, okay? Verse 15, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Now, those are big words right there. So I take those words very seriously. Anytime somebody is going to try and say, this is what God said. I've met with some people that say, you know, this is what the Lord says, and I've believed them. I've heard some people who have said, this is what the Lord says, and I'm like, I don't think that he said that. Like when someone sends you an internet meme and says something like, God told me that you need to share this with at least 5 people and you will be blessed. It's like, no, he didn't tell you that. Now, when the Lord says something, he makes it very clear. In fact, if you're a Christ follower, you know what it's like when the Lord has spoken to you, whether he's speaking to you through his Holy Spirit, like we talked about last week, or through his word, or through somebody else, and it connects with you, it resonates with your spirit, and you know what that's like, right? But here's this guy, and he's speaking on behalf of God, and this is what he says. He says, the Lord says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but whose is it? It's God. Now, watch this. Verse 16. Tomorrow. It's like, wait a minute. Like time out. Tomorrow? Like see, sometimes we'll get into a situation and we want God to handle it right then and there, right? And God goes, no. I've got a plan. I've got a plan. But my plan is on my time, not necessarily on your time. He says, tomorrow, march out against them. And so there it's like, oh, okay, God, I got a couple problems with this. First of all, we don't have enough time to get an army assembled, and we don't have enough time to get enough people in place to really figure out what we're going to do about this. But then he says, you will find them coming up the ascent of Ziz. All kinds of weird names here, I'm sorry, but just follow me. Through the ascent of Ziz, at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But, what does he say here? He says, you will not even need to fight. But backing up, just the first part of that. In other words, God is saying, I'm not surprised at what the enemy is doing. And on that note, the angels are not up in heaven in our situation, freaking out about what's going on, running around, buying up all the toilet paper they can find, and making sure that they are going to be okay. Nobody in heaven is surprised. God knew that all that's happening would be happening. Doesn't mean he planned for it. We'll speak on that maybe some other time. But God has a plan. just like God knew that the uncertainty that was going to happen in your life and my life, and while we're freaking out, what we need to remember is God is in control. God has got a plan. God has got a way, and he's going to work it out. And I don't always know what that plan is. I just know that God is God, and I'm not. And stuff like this reminds me of that. Verse 17 in there, he says, "But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory." This is a weird battle strategy here, isn't it? But he says, he is with you. Again, we'll pause there. Somebody needs to hear this. He is with you. Feel alone. Maybe in what you're going through, you feel abandoned. You've got questions. You're in the middle of uncertainty. The enemy looks bigger. The problem is massive. Remember, God is with you. Even in times of uncertainty, you can know that God is with you. He says, "O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow." Again, "for the Lord is with you." Now, when I was working on this message, I felt like God spoke something to me through this process. And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm going to need some confirmation on that." And kept on putting it there. And so I felt like for this portion of the message, this is what God has put on my heart for somebody. If this is you, you can take it and you can receive it. You can hold on to it. If it's not for you, that's fine. You can tune me out, grab a cup of coffee or whatever. But for somebody, whatever it is that you're going through, just like it says in this verse, the Lord is with you. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. You are going to come out on the other side of this. This may not be for everybody, but for somebody, you're going to come out of that, whatever it is. You're going to come out of that sickness. You're going to come out of that debt. You're going to come out of that anxiety, that depression, that illness, that situation, that season. The reason that you're going to come out of this, I believe the Lord is with you. He does not abandon his children. He has never left us. He will never forsake us. I believe somebody listening to this today needs to hear this. You will come out of this. And just like I believe that with all this going on in our nation, that he is with us, I believe that we will come out of this. I believe that we as a world will come out. I believe that God ultimately is in control, that he is going to bring us through this situation, whether he cures this miraculously or whether he cures this medicinally, which, by the way, did you know that God can do just as much through medicine as he can through prayer? Like, you're like, but the doctor. Oh, okay. Who do you think gave the doctors the ideas and the ability? Just wanted to throw that out there. Now, the battle plan, getting back to Jehoshaphat and his boys. The battle plan. Let's talk about that, because I'm not certain that this is the best battle plan. Like on the surface, okay? But God said it, so we'll go with it, okay? Verse 18. "Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord." So pause there. There is an army. This army is closing in. The guys, they should be sharpening their swords. They should be saddling the horses and everything. Like, but no, we're going to have a worship service. Verse 19, "Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, 'Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. You will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed.'" In other words, this is the leader saying, this is the time. Like, I know that we're tempted to doubt, but this is the time that we have got to have faith. See, faith is believing that God can and hoping that he will. I'm believing that God can deliver us from this army. Will he? I hope so. I don't know. but I am walking in the belief that he will. See, God the question is, can God deliver me from this situation? I believe he can. Will he? I hope so, but I'm going to walk in the belief that he will. Verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. It's like, are we still talking battle strategy here? Because this is a different one. Like, who are we putting out first? The archers? No. The cavalry? Not the cavalry. It's like, who should we get? Get the guitar player. Get the tambourine guy. Get the guy who can play a mean hot cross bun on the recorder. And let's have them lead the charge. A little bit weird, isn't it? Because this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And so you've got the worship leaders out front. I mean, seriously, we're going out to battle. Do you want Kat and Marta and Matt and myself leading the charge into battle? Now, this is what got me about this situation. Typically, I worship best when things are going good in my life. Typically, I worship best after God has delivered me from something. But right here, the king says, we are going to walk as if we've already won. We're going to walk in worship. And we might be walking right into a battle, but we are going to walk into that battle with our focus on God. And I thought, you know, we've got a choice in these coming days, weeks, and months. Who knows how long this thing's going to go. As we face uncertainty globally and we face uncertainty personally, we can walk in worry. Or we can walk in worship. We can walk like we're not sure what God's going to even do. Or we can walk like we believe that the battle is already won. We can walk with our hands held high. We can walk knowing that God is in control. One of the things I want to challenge every single person to do in the coming days is spend time in worship. Spend some time in worship. Even when you're uncertain, you can worship. In fact, that is often worship gets very, very real. When you're not sure what's going to happen, we say, but God, even though I'm not sure, I'm going to worship you anyway. But God, I'm not sure if I'm going to get delivered from this, but I'm going to worship you anyway. See, worship isn't just, God, I'm going to worship you when everything's perfect. Real worship is, God, everything seems to be falling apart, but you're still God, and you are still good, and I'm still going to worship you. Now, this is where it takes a bit of a turn. And honestly, in reading this, I didn't see this coming. Verse 22, at that very moment, the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves, right? The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So it's like, here comes the army. God's people start praising. The armies then start fighting each other. I don't know why. I have to believe God had something to do with this, right? He's in control. Can you imagine? You're there. You're singing. Your hands are up. How great is our God? What are they doing? They came here to take us out. They're taking each other out. And as they're worshiping, God is just handling the situation. And let me promise something. We sang this earlier. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, he's working. All I'm called to do is walk and worship. Hey, if you're a Christian, let's walk like we've won this thing. Let's walk like we're not defeated. Let's walk in confidence. Let's not walk around going, this is God's judgment on the earth. Like, even if it is, praise God, we're going home, right? Let's just walk like we're victorious. Verse 24. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. I mean, that's kind of gory, right? But that's the reality of what happened then. Don't miss it. It's all because God handled the situation. By the way, when God handles something, he handles it completely. God doesn't do anything halfway. This is my favorite part. This is the part nobody talks about. Verse 25, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. And so at first, they think that they're going to get plundered. But by the end of the story, they're the ones plundering the enemy. And see, what we're seeing as pandemic, I think is going to turn into plunder. I think that God is going to lead us to develop new technologies, to develop new medical advancements, a readiness. We thought it was a problem. But God's going to turn it into plunder. It says they found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. And so it started out as uncertain. And it ended in victory. See, I'm just talking to somebody today. I don't know if this is or not, but it's for somebody, okay? Not necessarily everyone. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but you've been tempted to freak out, you've been tempted to panic, and not only is God going to bring you out of this, but he's going to bring you out better than before. Because that's the kind of God we have, whether it's this life or in eternity. My youngest son, Jackson, he likes being around lots of people. Sometimes when we're in a crowded place, he gets a little bit freaked out, and he'll reach up and he'll grab my hand. And when he's holding on to daddy's hand, and it doesn't matter how loud the noises get. It doesn't matter how big the crowd is. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. As long as he is holding on to his father's hand, he knows that it's going to be all right. In these situations that are going on in the world today, I've been reminded that I can't even walk in this world unless I'm holding the hand of my father. I can't even function unless I'm holding his hand. But I know that if I'm holding his hand, I can't always feel that he's at work. If I'm not holding onto his hand, I don't know what's gonna happen because he's working in all things. When I'm holding onto his hand, I know that he's working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for how you work. I thank you for the ways that you give us reminders that you are God and we are not. And so God, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would do that work, whatever it is that we're needing, whatever way that we need to experience you today, wherever we're at, and whatever in the middle of whatever may be going on in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would give us that reminder that you are here. And wherever you're at right now, just know that just what it would be like for you to reach out your hand to Jesus. The reality is he's already reached his hand to you. So my challenge to you, my encouragement to you is reach back, grab onto the hand of Jesus and say, you may be saying, God, I'm uncertain about this situation. But I am going to walk like I've already won, trusting with every step, every bit of this battle. God, whatever it is that I'm going through right now, I don't necessarily know. I'm uncertain. But you are a God who is certain. Maybe praying that prayer right now, just as a pause. Wherever you're at right now, whatever may be going on in your life, whatever you may be struggling with, whatever you may be worried about, I'm just going to give just a quick moment right now to just convey that to our Father in heaven. God, this, whatever it is, I'm telling you right now, God, I trust you. So have that moment. Lord, whatever it is that may be going on, we're worried about what's going on in our country, our world, our community. God, we give it to you, friend. Let us know that you are in control, that though we may have no idea how it's going to go, what the outcome is going to be, Lord, we know you already see the end of this thing. We know that your word tells us, and we can take this to the bank, that the battle already belongs to you. So God, we thank you, and we trust you. Lord, we pray that as we think about this, we sit, we let this resonate. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we talk with our families, as we discuss with this other. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the conversation that we have to have. God, we thank you so much. We pray all this in your son's holy name. Amen. Now listen, whatever's going on, communicate whatever's going on with us. However you best could do that, you can email us at info@crosspointnd.com. You could message us on Facebook. Let us know what's going on. If you're interested in accepting Jesus as your Savior, asking him into your life, we would love to walk you through that process and talk you through it. We're not going to hunt you down or anything. We can't even do that right now. We can't even go outside of our home, barely. And so, but we just want to give you some resources, some encouragement to start on your way. Have a great day and stay tuned for all that's going to be happening here with CrossFit.